everybody do this for me. Give me a little soul. Help me. Oh, yeah. Is a dog and the moon is the only light we'll see. I won't cry, no, I won't shed a tear, just as long as you stand by me. So darling, sometimes I sit down and I wonder, baby. I wonder if you love me, truly love me, like you say you do. You know, Jackie Wilson might tell you this. He might say, please. He might say, oh my God, you got to stand by me. David Ruffin of the Temptations might tell you, I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. Yeah. When it's a cold outside, you know that I've even got the month of May. Chuck Jackson might tell you, he might say, hip to you, dig business to you. Baby, 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 don't you know I never love you right? And I want you to come home and do me, mama, yeah. And oh, my darling, oh, my darling, you got to stand by me. You know, Howlin' Wolf will tell you this. He'll say, oh, smokestack lightning, come on and dance and stand by me. And old Roy Rogers, he'll tell you something like this. He'll say, oh, baby, won't you stand by me? Won't you stand by me? Cause I'm an old cowhand from the Rio Grande. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. So whenever you're in trouble, you got to stand by me.
For a moment, okay? Stop. Think 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 for a moment, okay? Think for a moment, okay? Stop. Think for a moment, okay? Stop. stop, stop, think for a moment, okay? Stop, think for a moment, okay? Think for a moment, okay? Stop. 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 Think for a moment, okay?
And welcome back to Van Cleek Coulee, folks. Once again, back here every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. till 10 p.m. My name is Sean Coulee, and we do this little radio program, play a lot of funk music, play some hip-hop, some rap, some rock, some, well, just everything, really, is what I do. Usually, Gilbank is here, and tonight he took the night off because he doesn't know a thing about hockey, and that's what the profile is tonight. And unlucky... Oh, jeez, that was me. That was my fault. Unlucky for him, over the next little while, I'm going to be talking a lot about hockey. And lucky for you, the listener, hopefully you like hockey. And you love this game. I believe it's the... myself, anyways, this is my take. It's the best game on earth. Best game ever played. We as Canada own that game. And I'm really 100% behind... teaching all kids that want to play how to play the game properly and safely and have fun with it and keep learning until they're not able to skate anymore. Just my, my father-in-law, John. John Gaspar is here co-hosting with me tonight. Hi, John. Thanks.
Hi, Sean.
My father-in-law, you've seen him at the rink many times. The man is close to 65. He's maybe 62, 63. Plays 6 to 7 hours of hockey a week.
Wow.
And high-end hockey, too, for his age. And you know, like, it's amazing the hockey the man still plays. I want all kids that love the game of hockey to be able to play it for the rest of their life. Keep safe, keep playing the game properly, and keep growing the game. So, John, as I just introduced you, John Gaspar, you are... Well, you explained it, John. You're the current president of the Griffins.
That's correct.
And you hold a bunch of other posts in minor hockey. Am I correct?
Yes, I do. I'm still past president of Van Cleek Hill Cougars Minor Hockey.
Okay.
As well. President, second year president of the Tri-City Griffins that play in the rugby league.
It's your second year doing that?
Well, actually, it's my second year as a president. I've been there as an executive for the last 3 years since we've since we organized the association itself. Mm-hmm. The association is 3 years old.
So Griffins didn't exist 4 years ago.
It just came about three years ago. It was a pilot project in starting 4 years ago. We started to sit down and have discussions with the district concerning the level of competition at the B League, formerly PGL, what we had in our areas, mm-hmm. and we were struggling to put together teams at those levels.
So before there was a Hawkesbury team, there was a Vankley Kill team, and there was a St. Isidore team?
That's correct. For the most part, at each level, where we could supply teams.
Yep. And right. Obviously the teams were, well, I guess, either undersupplied, there wasn't enough players, or the team was super weak?
Both conditions. Both conditions. We, unfortunately, numbers have been an issue in minor hockey in this area, in the rural areas, the eastern areas. And they've looked at it extensively over the last probably 7-8 years through many discussions at the district. Mm-hmm. And finally, we came up with a proposal 4 years ago to form basically coalition associations between Rockland Clarence, our one association. They're called the Crush.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Ice Dogs are made up of Castleman and Ambrin. Mm-hmm. And it's made up basically because of their logistics. And St. Isidore, Hawkesbury, and Vankley Kill make up the Tri-City Griffins.
The Tri-City, yeah, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. Now, I noticed this year, now this is just a question, I'm surprised I didn't ask you this earlier this year, but my son's on the Tri-City Griffins, the Adam Minor team. So is your son.
Correct.
And from what I understand now, and I guess I figured this out midway through the year, my son would be the only one that was actually representing St. Isidore.
If my memory serves me correct, I believe you're right.
Now, Where are the rest of the 9-year-olds playing rep B hockey? What's happening there?
Well, I mean, there's different mindsets. Some of the things can be skewed many ways. Different opinions, obviously, about it. Some parents don't feel comfortable putting their kids into competitive level hockey at such an early age.
Well, that's totally understandable.
That's right.
That's completely understandable.
That's right. The traveling and the expense becomes an issue as well for some parents.
It's quite an expense,
And living out in the rural areas, because we do play our road games, basically the majority of the games are played within the Ottawa area, right up to Elmont and
Pakenham.
it becomes a challenge.
Oh, absolutely it does.
And not every child, you know, really wants to play competitive. He wants to play with his friends.
Yep.
And at those age groups, that tends to be the focus for those kids. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the numbers are there too. So, I mean, if they are competitive level kids and they come out to the tryouts, then they can, you know, they have a good crack at making the teams.
They hack it, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I found it really odd that no other kids even tried out for the Griffins this year from that area. And now, of course, I'm new to the area. We're new to St. Isidore. We're new to all of this.
Right.
We're new to the Griffins. And then finding out midway through the year that no other kids even tried out from the St. Isidore area, I found that a little odd, like perplexed me a little bit. Like, well, okay, where are they? Because I know, what's the A team, Cobras?
A and AA are Cobras, yes, that's correct.
I know, because my son tried out for that team.
Yeah.
Good ice time for him. I knew he wasn't going to make it. I hoped he did for his sake.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I was going to be able to afford it or anything like that, but I wanted him to get out there and see where he was at. There must have been more St. Isidore kids out there. It seemed like they sort of disappeared. Nothing against the Griffins or Rep B, because it's a very well-run league. I found it really odd. And then to see, not to discredit anything, but a very low turnout for the Rep B level. It was odd. Fantastic team was put together. A fun team. The kids really got along. They really gelled. they learn. My son loved it, and he wants to stick with those guys. He's met some new friends, and you know what? That's all I care about. He had fun playing hockey. He met a bunch of new friends, and that's what it's all about to me. He learned, he sweated, he had some rough times, had some good times, finally scored a goal. Were you at that one?
Yes, I was.
His home rink
in
Richmond.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that was great. His grandfather, my father, was there. His grandfather on the other side. Oh, it was fantastic to see him finally put one in. But, yeah, I think the league is very well run, and I'm very impressed with it. Some of the talent in that, in Rep B, I couldn't imagine what A was, or double A. Like, it was like, whoa. What was the last team we played there? That big boy with the big slap shot off the point.
And where were we? Oh, jeez.
The last game of the season. It was in St. Vincent.
The last game that we played was in Cumberland.
Was it?
Yeah.
I'm forgetting it. But we played. Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
It was Cumberland. And that kid, I remember him at least three times this year. Just blowing a shot over the blue line and just like top corner sort of thing, and good on him, fantastic.
And for that child, he may have been a bubble child at the A competition. Mm. So you'll see at the upper tier on some B teams in the Ottawa League, especially, you'll have probably two or three kids that are bubble kids on an A team.
Yeah.
But they can only field 15 skaters.
Yeah.
So that tends to, again, skew the level of competition on a particular team.
Yeah.
And that's why some people, they'll look at, you know, they'll come in and they'll look and they'll say, oh my God, we can't compete. Well, you can compete.
Yeah.
And we've proven we can.
Yeah, absolutely.
Matter of fact, our Pee Wee Miners have won as of about an hour ago.
Really?
Are moving on to the finals of the Rep B Championship.
Oh, wow. Good for them.
Which is quite feather in their cap.
And that's what level?
That's Pee Wee Minor.
Wow, what age is that?
That would be 11.
That's great. That's great to see. That's really good hockey. It was Saturday. Yeah, the Saturday practice we had here in Van Cleek Hill. The Griffins were playing. I believe it was Cumberland they were playing. And who was on the bench? Neil was on the bench. They were all wearing cowboy hats.
That's right, yeah.
That was great hockey to watch.
Yep.
For Rep B. That was really good. Good little hockey players. Some really good skaters. Some real good passing out there. You could really see they had it together on the bench. Both teams. I'm talking about both teams here.
Correct.
There's nothing... I used to get a little bit of a, you know, like a sideways look from my co-coaches last year when I saw one of the opposition's team come down tic-tac-toe across the ice and put it in. It would be like, wow, that was pretty damn nice there.
Yep.
Even though they scored on us, it's great to see.
Oh, it's awesome! It's awesome to see, and it's good for us as coaches. As I coached the last 3 years at the AA level at the Cobras,
mm-hmm.
and we played a team from Finland this year during the holidays,
January
3rd. It was a great experience for the kids. I had the opportunity to hook up with the manager of that team in Finland, and we were able to put it together with their traveling, because they were traveling through Ontario playing exhibition games.
And that was Rep B as well?
No, it was AA.
Cobra, okay.
That's Cobra's AA.
But
it's
huge.
That
huge
team experience. That team is a they're made up of 14-year-old boys, and they play in a club system in Europe. And our team was bigger, faster, stronger. They beat us 7-5. They probably could have beaten us probably by another 3-4 goals if our goalies hadn't stood on their heads. The skill level of the way they passed the puck was incredible.
Really?
And it was a great learning experience even for me as a coach to watch that and to see. And because the other coach right away at the beginning of the game, he said, well, you guys are big and you're fast, you know.
Didn't
mean a thing. Working together, teamwork-wise, is very important.
You talk about the passing, and I think it's got to be, you know, like for any kid that actually looks at the stats, I hope they understand that an assist is worth just as much as a goal.
Something to try to teach.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They're all the same as long as that puck goes in at the end of the day and you work together to get it in. There's no sense in taking it all the way down the ice yourself, because there's it's a goal, but there's one point.
In a well-constructed play, there's usually two or three kids that never see a stat because they've started the play,
mm-hmm.
they've They've made a play without the puck, yet they were very important. They were very important in scoring that goal.
Yeah, they ran a pick or something like that.
And they created a play amongst the plays. And it's very important for the coaches to point that out to those players as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Applaud the passing. Applaud the play against away from the puck. I completely agree. Well, we're going to fade back to some music here. But again, this is the Van Cleek Cooley radio program. Heard every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. till 10 p.m. Over the next coming weeks, I'm going to do a little bit of a profile of my favorite game on earth, hockey. And hopefully you enjoy it. I believe Hockey Canada still has a long way to go. Hockey Canada still needs to, well, continuously look at itself and make sure we're going the right way. I watched a program this weekend, two nights ago. It was a Gordie Howe, a dinner? I guess Gretzky was up there and all the Howes and Hull was up there. And they talked about how many games they used to play as opposed to, like, not practicing. And I know Hockey Canada has taken the approach of practice more than games. But is that right? You know what I mean? Like, I wonder if we have it right.
In my opinion, we play too many games for the amount of practices that we have.
So there should be just as many games, but more practices.
If I take that Finnish team as a perfect example, or other teams that I've seen from Europe and the United States, the amount of practice time that they put on in a week compared to the amount of games that they play, their skill level is far superior. At equal levels.
All right. Well, that's something we'll talk about a little more. I love this stuff. I absolutely love it. In the coming weeks, I hope to have Steve Barton, NHL linesman, back on. Liam McGuire has promised me a show. That's what would you call Liam McGuire? Well, historian. On the air, what, historian. Hockey fanatic, a buff, a trivia buff, has his own radio program in Ottawa. He's all around North America. He's in, I believe it's Los Angeles or California tonight, somewhere in California doing some sort of something. He may be on next week. He may be on in the coming weeks. But
exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. This is the Van Cleek Cooley radio program. We're going to be talking a lot about hockey over the next little while. And I'm going to play some funk here. Van Cleek Cooley, Van Cleek FM, the voice of the community.
Hit me. black sex machine.
And that's the Godfather of Soul, James Brown, Give It Up or Turn It Loose. I just found out this week, I think a day or two ago, on BBC television, Mick Jagger just did a full profile, a full, like, two-hour-long profile on James Brown. Kind of a weird person to be doing that, but anyways, I want to see it. Talking over some Baby Huey right now with Hard Times on the Van Cleek Cooley radio program. Every Wednesday night, 8 till 10 p.m., VanCleekFM.com, 88.7 FM, Van Cleek FM, the voice of the community. Tonight on the show, we got John Gaspar. We're talking hockey, which we will be for the next coming weeks. John, we started talking just before we listened to some music there about the amount of practices as compared to the amount of games. Now, I'm not really sure what side I sit on this. I think when I was young, and I never played any high-end hockey, I think I played, the highest I played was maybe B. I made it for an A-team once, and then my dad found out how much it was going to cost, and I didn't make the A-team. Uh-huh. And it was, I was begging him. He had a business too, a garage business, very successful. And they asked him to, you know, like, to help with the cost for him to sponsor the team, and he was like, no, that's even a further no. So I never got asked back. I think I played House League A once, which is, you know, yeah. But anyways, I learned how to play fun hockey. Not a good hockey player, not a good skater. I believe I think we practiced, how it was in Canada, we'd practice twice a week and then one game. Then the next week we'd have two games and one practice. That's how they tried to keep it. Right. Today, and... Well, I guess your wife being the ice scheduler.
Among many things, yes.
What's that?
Among other things.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. One of her hats she wears.
Yeah.
What was the split, or what is the split that we try to aim for?
Generally speaking, for the Adams and the Pee-wees, we generally try to give them six hours a month for practice time. Now, we're fortunate as well, being in the area that we are. We've got the two rinks that are close to us.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, in an ideal
three world, rinks that are close to
well,
us.
Well, that's correct. But being Hawkesbury and Bankley-Kill within 10 minutes of each other.
Yep.
When teams are out playing away games or whatnot, there's always time slots that open up.
Yeah.
Because we're responsible for holding on to that ice, we'll ship that ice off to another team. So I'd probably venture to guess we probably give in an extra two and a half hours a month to each team, if not more.
Really?
Our Pee Wee Minor parents would probably say a lot more, because that team has practiced whenever they've been able to get extra
ice.
That's
great.
But you've got the support of the parents. And if you've got the support of the parents and the kids love it, which they do, and they're having fun, they're learning. They're learning, and that's what's important. Our focus at the Griffins especially is about skill development for the kids. And you can't do that by drawing it on a board.
No.
You know,
got to get out there.
You got to get out there, and you got to let the kids enjoy it. And they're going to make mistakes. Uh-huh. And myself as a coach, I tell my kids all the time, make as many mistakes as you can, because that's how you're going to learn.
Yeah.
And once you realize the mistakes that you're making with our guidance, you'll try to correct that. And some kids will correct it a little sooner than others.
Yep.
And that's why I try to explain that to parents. What you see at the beginning of the season isn't what you're going to see at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And what you see this year isn't what you're going to see next year. The kids.
No, absolutely not.
If you're focused on having your child play competitive sports at any level, whatever sport it is, whether it's baseball, soccer, hockey, it's long-term development.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hockey Canada has this rule of thumb, 10,000 hours before you actually master something.
Well, yep.
10,000 hours is a lot of time.
That's a lot of time.
A lot of time. So, I mean, that's basically a whole minor hockey league career.
Yeah.
If you start at the age of 4 years old and
finish mastering it.
That's it. Exactly.
That'd be a tough one.
That's right.
Now, like I was saying, I watched that Gordie Howe tribute, whatever it was, and I believe it was one of the Howe sons, Mark Howe, one of them said, we played games and we barely ever practiced. I believe in the, you know, the 50-50, try to get as many practices as you can. I'm on the fence about it, because you learn a lot through a game too, but you got to make sure your practices are very good to make practices worthwhile. You can't be just out there running wind sprints and skating lines or doing circles, because it's not fun for the kids. They lose interest. You can't have a coach out there barking at them. They got to make it fun. You know, like if you've done all the drills, you know, in the last three practices, throw a soccer ball out there. Let them kick it around. Play, you know, some sort of game, you know, like to make it fun, or have an actual scrimmage. It's very important to keep it, as you said, fun for the kids.
That's correct.
Keep them skating. A good friend of mine who didn't play pro hockey, I guess as it is, but his brother did, Sean O'Donnell. His brother Mark, who I grew up with, one of the best hockey players I've ever met in my life, and I've met quite a few pro hockey players, but Mark, great player, great hands, absolutely no brain, and I'd say that to his face, and he knows it, so I have no problem saying it. Mark was running a hockey school. I was about 22, so he was about the same age, and this guy could skate, Mark O'Donnell. And he said, and he played 67s. He got a little bit of a, he got two chances with Kilray and blew it both times and never made it back from that. But he was telling me, and this is so true, I never had it, but you're not going to ever play any high-end hockey if you can't skate. If you can't skate, just forget about it, or just keep focusing on the skating. And that's one thing through the years of coaching I've been through. And, you know, I coached up until the end of novice. So, I mean, it's not that many years, but there was never a true focus on skating. My wife being a figure skating coach,
right,
and a high-end one at that, and also a power skating coach certified, that's where the focus is, on the skating, obviously with figure skating.
That's correct.
But power skating, if you learn how to skate and skate properly, you've got half of it already licked.
Absolutely.
I think it's a very good idea for every competitive team, every hockey team, to bring out a power skating coach, to bring out a figure skating coach, to learn your edges. It's one thing I never learned. I totally don't know how to skate properly. But I think that would be a very good idea for any minor hockey team to take up. This is something I wanted to bring up with other hockey people for quite a while. And it's something I've been seeing for quite a long time, because as much as I've been involved with hockey, minor hockey, and being a hockey dad, and being a hockey coach, and being a hockey player, I'm also a figure skater's dad. I'm a figure skater's husband, figure skating coach's husband. And I really noticed this within the last 3 years living out in the west end of Ottawa. We spent a lot of time in Kanata, Carleton Place, Stittsville, Goulburn, Nepean. That was sort of our home base with figure skating and a lot of hockey as well. But what I noticed, and you may agree or disagree with me here, you'd be on the ice or standing watching, having a coffee, whatever, I'd be watching my daughter figure skate. And 2 minutes into the hour of figure skating, the hockey dads and the hockey players roll in for their game
right. The
next hour. And it, you know, all the kids are dressed the same. They're all wearing the headphones, the Beats, or whatever they're called, Dre Beats. They're all looking the same. All the kids go out into the rink. They start kicking the ball around. All the dads sort of convene in one area. And between my wife and I and the other figure skating coaches and the other parents of figure skaters, I don't know how many times I've had to, just myself, tell the boys, or the kids, the girls and boys that are getting ready for their hockey game, stop kicking the ball against the window here. There's young figure skaters out there trying to do a jump, preparing for a jump, and you're right. Banging the boards.
And you're trying to focus.
Oh, absolutely. It's a different... It's not a game, right? It's a solo sport. And it's got to be complete, 100% focus on this next jump, this next move. To the point where about a year and a half ago in Goulburn, my wife actually got off the ice and said to a bunch of boys, look, I've asked you guys to stop kicking the ball against the boards here. Where's your coach? And the coach actually confronted my wife like an a-hole. And me and one of the other dads had to step in and say, like, what are you doing here, man? Like, come on. Yeah. And this was a well-recognized coach in Crusaders hockey from out there, and I knew who he was, and he knew who I was, because I was involved with the Crusaders as well. And I was just like, give your head a shake here. You don't own the rink. When it is very like, you've ran many practices where you're out on the ice with the boys and you're throwing the puck around, and the girls, and you're throwing the puck around, then all of a sudden there's a hockey team up in the stands and they're doing jumping jacks and yelling and screaming. I get it. In some cases, that needs to be done, but why does it have to be so so loud, so intrusive? Like, it's just, it's over the top to me. And I think there really needs to be, I guess Hockey Canada needs to recognize that hockey doesn't own the rink. They share it with Figure Skating Canada and all the other leagues.
Well, absolutely. And I think if you ask if you ask some prominent executives, they would tell you the exact same thing.
Yeah.
I, as a coach, my number one focus is respect for yourself, respect for your teammates,
yeah. Respect
for your opponents,
yeah. Your
parents, and, you know, everyone that's in the arena. I'm fortunate because I coached 7 years in ringette, which is a female sport.
Mm-hmm.
Boys do play it at the younger levels, but for the majority of time, I coached it.
Great sport.
So I have a great appreciation for the skating part of the game, because that is what ringette is all about.
Yeah, that's
where the strength is. That's why so many quality female hockey players have come out of ringette, because of the skating. But a lot of good power skating, a lot of good figure skaters had joined ringette in the time that I was there, and it was tremendous. But it's the focus. It was the focus on your art, on your skills. You know, that instance there, unfortunately, well, you're going to get some crackpots.
Yep.
I, you know,
oh God,
I don't,
yeah.
you know, unfortunately, you hear it in the news. It seems to be monthly now. Whether it's hockey parents or whether it be football or wherever it is, people seem to become unglued, and they lose respect for each other, and it's unfortunate. But I like to think that the sport itself, playing a team sport, is one of the big challenges for us, anyways, is to try to get the kids to understand it. You're learning about respect for each other here.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you're always going to get that issue coming up here and there. So.
Yeah, you really do see it, especially in the competitive games, the intense games. My sister Liz, her son played, I don't know what age. He's Bantam this year. Last year he was playing, I think he was playing the Crush. Good hockey player.
Okay.
Not a great team. Not a bad team. Not a great team. Whatever. Just mediocre.
Right.
In the playoffs. It got a little rough. So hockey does. And that's the way hockey is played. As far as I'm concerned, that's the way hockey should be played. Gets a little out of hand at times. And what she said, and she grew up in the same family as me. She knows hockey. She knows her stuff. She plays. And she agrees. It can be rough. It can, you know, she doesn't want her son to get hurt, but she also wants the game to be played properly. But it got to a point where my sister would no longer go to the games because she was so ashamed of the other parents on her team. There was one parent on her team that actually started taunting the ref. And... you know, like just absolute ignorant comments about the ref and ignorant comments and back. And this person, I guess this ref was from town or wherever. And the ref's mom showed up at the end of the game, near the end of the game, to pick them up.
Okay.
And they started in on the mom. Mm. And my sister got up and just kind of went into this. It was a mother and said, like, you should be ashamed of yourself. And never returned to a game for the rest of the season. Unfortunately, my sister didn't want to watch anymore because she was so ashamed of the other parents. It's that type of behavior that needs to be absolutely banned from the game. And sure, that's the person that's signing the check to be able to play their child to be able to play the game. But if you can't even conduct yourself in a proper way in the rink, you shouldn't be allowed back in.
No, absolutely. And actually... the fact that you bring that topic up, it's there's a small online course now. It's online. It used to be in class. It's called Respect in Sports or Speak Out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great course.
Every hockey volunteer is expected to, whether they're on the bench or not, managers, they're required to take it. Hockey Canada, I think, is following the lead of Hockey Alberta, which requires it from all parents now.
Really?
That's right, and they'll be implementing that. I believe if they haven't already started, it'll be next year at the novice level and working their way through.
All parents need to take it.
At least one parent per family. Now, of course, there's hesitation in it because it's a cost factor. And the course is about $35, I think, with taxes included.
And the parents pay for that, or does that come?
Well, that's it. Like, who pays for it? It's just a question, right? So, do you offset the cost through the registrations, which are already fairly high? You know, if you speak to some people, for sure.
Yeah.
But like I tell every parent, I said, I'm more than willing to sit down with you and look over the cost of operations and show you exactly why it costs so much, what it does. You
know? Oh yeah, absolutely.
And people try to compare it to, let's say, Quebec, where municipalities and governments will fund their ice times. So like their tournaments are half the cost of ours because basically the municipalities are giving them the ice time for free, whereas we don't have that here.
No.
Although. In the area here, except for Hawkesbury, the Champlain and the Nation have done a great job in keeping the cost very reasonable for the ice for us. But that being said, the cost for this online course, again, are they going to be offering a group price or there's still lots of talk about it.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a move in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you going to eliminate the problem?
No,
absolutely.
God, no.
Are you going to educate the parents a little bit more? You hope to, but you're always going to find. Listen, I get emotional behind the bench. The game is a completely different. There's a different focus when you're behind a bench or you're on the ice and when you're in the stands. And understanding where you are and how you're representing your team and whatnot. Yep. And I've lost my cool with a few refs for sure in the past. But like I said, at the same time, I'm still teaching the kids.
Yep.
You don't swear at the refs. You know, it's just, you're never going to, the ref isn't the person who's losing the game. You are.
No, absolutely.
If that's the situation you're finding yourself in. And that's where the parents have to understand as well.
Yeah.
And my wife's also an official. She's been official for over 20 years.
Yeah.
And your hair would curdle if I would tell you some of the things she's been called. So.
Oh, I'm sure she's seen some stupid things.
Oh, too. Yes. Many things. But again, it's human nature. We understand it to a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely, it's a focus. It is a focus for Hockey Canada,
and
they realize the implications to it. But it's how do you manage it? You know, don't forget, hockey's made up of volunteers.
Yeah, but, absolutely. You know, yeah, you can't. Well, you can discipline someone. You could take them out. You can't fire them.
You're entrusting. Well, yeah. You're entrusting, but you're entrusting them to enforce rules that they're not always comfortable enforcing.
Yeah, true.
Like myself as an executive within the district, I can be in an arena, and even if it's not a team that I'm affiliated with, if I see that there's parents being disorderly in the stands,
mm-hmm.
I can go up and ask them to leave. And if they're not willing to leave the arena, I warn them and I tell them, if you don't leave and if you continue to create if you continue to harass the other parents, or I had a situation last year like that. I will call the OPP.
You were put in that situation where you had to confront someone?
Yep.
Really? That must have been very uncomfortable, very, you know, that's not why you go to the rink.
No, it's not. But the thing is that what that person didn't realize at that moment in time is the words that they were saying were being interpreted by small kids, grandparents, people
just
who...
so wrong.
People who come to the game and they look up and it's like they're just here to watch their, you know, their little Johnny or little Kathy on the ice, mm-hmm. playing the game and just want to have fun and watch the game. And yeah, the emotion of the game, you know, you're a goal down, two goals down, somebody falls, you think it's a trip. Yeah, we all think a penalty
should
be.
Come on, ref.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's part of the game.
Yeah, that's right.
Calling out, come on, what's going on?
And when you start calling them names,
that's too much.
You know, it just doesn't belong there.
When the emotions really creep in, that's when you need to shut yourself down.
Well, like I said, I had to get in between two moms, and hockey moms in the stands sometimes can get, just as hockey dads as well.
Yeah.
You know? But I got in there and I made my point clear, and they were quiet after that. So.
We, in the Crusaders in the West End last year, we actually had to, I guess we can't, you can't really call it suspend, but we asked one mother, don't return to the rink. And, it was getting to the point. Now, last year, I coached half the season. I was the trainer, but I mean, I'm on the ice every game and coaching with the kids, and which I would say after being on the bench, in the stands, and you know this, that's why I stand on my own, and I stand near you a lot of times.
Yeah,
that's why I stand by myself.
That's right.
I have nothing against any of the players' parents that I've sat with for years. I just don't want to be with them when during a game. There's things said, there's noises made, there's mm-hmm. you know, like, just you can see it's not right.
Yep.
I don't think I have the control to keep my mouth shut, so I'll just stand by myself and keep myself away from it. I do have to say I'd prefer being on the bench, because sure, you're subject to the criticism, and oh well, that's part of it. It's much more fun. There's more of a focus. It's on the kids. You watch the kids instead of the game, so you're keeping the lines correct. And I don't know, that's hockey to me. But last year, so midway through the season, I sort of stepped away. Someone stepped in, took my spot. It was tough for me. It really was. It was the first time I'd sat in the stands and watched my son playing. And I could see him, and he was like, I want you out here, Dad. Like, he loved me being on the bench.
Right.
And I got my first taste of sitting in the crowd. And it was pretty quick I realized this one mother was just absolutely out of hand. And from what I hear, it was every game. And it got to a point where a lot of people were just too nice to say anything. And they would be just, like, blocking her out. And they would always sit with her. And she'd throw the taunts out to the bench, to the kids, the ref, and the other team. And one day I stopped her and her husband, who I played hockey with, her husband, and said, like, you're making it very uncomfortable. And I'm not even talking about the kids here. You're making it very uncomfortable for the other parents out there. Mm-hmm. And of course, he kind of looked at me like, yeah, you got me. You got completely. And he wasn't a problem, but it was his wife. And she, of course, she was doing no wrong. She's paying. She can say anything she wants. Mm-hmm. Shortly after that, she was suspended. She wasn't allowed back to the rink. It was getting a little out of hand. There needs to be a policing by the parents on that. I believe parents should not be feeling uncomfortable to say something. And it makes you more uncomfortable if you do say something, right? You don't feel, oh, okay, maybe it's not my place, or I don't want a problem, and this and that. But in Speak Out, and I don't remember it being said this way, but you shouldn't be afraid to speak out to the other parents and say, hey, get in line. Like, I know it's sort of dabbled in Speak Out. I haven't taken it in years. It was years ago. But that should be, you know, something. Well, if the whole parents group are doing it, that should be like you're a team of parents.
It needs to be nipped in the bud right away.
Yeah.
Like I encourage, as a coach, I've always encouraged my teams. I've always had parent reps.
Uh-huh. Because, yeah, absolutely.
not every coach comes across as being personable or approachable, even though I always tell my parents at the beginning of the season, I have an open door policy.
Mm-hmm.
If you're really upset after a game, for whatever reason it is, take the 24-hour rule. You know,
that's such cool a good off, rule. Yeah.
Cool off. Unfortunately, I've been subject to that rule being broken a few times. Parents being suspended on the teams that I've coached for that reason. And for the most part, the majority of parents are great parents.
Yeah.
And, you know, even the ones that cross the line, they're good people.
Yeah, yeah.
They just, you take them out of the hockey atmosphere.
Yep.
You would know they're the same people.
No, absolutely not. The worst comes out.
And there's a great example of that in the old Speak Out where they show a parent and another parent was videotaping that father.
Yeah.
It was just an example, obviously. And they showed that video to that father out.
Yep.
Just to show him what he looked like, you know, slamming the glass and yelling and screaming. And, you know, and his son is on the ice looking up and going, oh, my God. You know?
Yeah, that's my dad.
But not everybody's comfortable with that, especially in the stands. Most people go to just watch their child play hockey.
Yeah.
You've got some introverts that just, you know, they're not comfortable in public spaces. So you do, it's always suggested to have a parent rep on a team.
Yeah.
So that someone can go there. And that parent rep should identify if there is issues, that it should be brought to the bench staff, to the coach, especially the head coach, because he's responsible for everything that goes on that team. And it should be brought to his attention immediately.
Yeah.
And so that it can be taken care of. You know, with reasonable, you know, with white gloves at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if that doesn't work, well, then we'll...
Yeah, absolutely. You got to deal with it.
We've got other approaches, absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's a great game, but there are flaws to it, right? When you get personalities, when you get emotions involved. But after we come back, we're going to listen to a little more music. Let's talk about the game a little more. Where Hockey Canada is going, where we rank, I guess, in the world now. Not that I have any idea about that anymore. But, I guess we'll just chat some more hockey.
Sounds good.
How about that?
Sounds great.
All right. Back in a moment here. This is Van Cleek Cooley, the Van Cleek Cooley radio program. This is Charles Wright, and we're going to play a little more Since I Lost My Baby live coming up right here. Van Cleek Cooley, VanCleekFM.com. The voice of the community here at 88.7 FM.
Reminder.
my hopes gonna last? When good things are bad, when you're happy, I'm sad. But since I've lost my baby, oh, since I've lost that baby, I feel so bad. You know that I feel so bad. Everything is gone wrong. Without my love, without my love, without my love, I can't go home. You know the baby said, see the double. Help me find my baby. Oh, I lost my baby. You know what I do? Every night I stay at home. Yes, I do. I don't go nowhere. I just get in the bed and lay down and wait for the telephone to ring so I can say, baby. Oh, baby, come on home.
I was a millionaire, play rock music and grow long hair. I tell you, boy, I buy new Rolls Royce. Pretty women come to me, I give them all the third degree, I give them satin shades to keep them off the streets. Hallelujah, let me sock it to you. Praise the Lord and pass the masculine. Great Jehovah, you'll come over soon as you see me boogie woogie across the silver screen. Hang them high, hang them low. I put them in the ceilings wherever I go. And they swing all night in the rafter lights. There, do, 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 do. Hallelujah. What's it to you? Got your call for me. I got my Spanish tape. Jehovah, you'll come over soon as you hear me play my calliope.